our meditation this evening is recorded for us in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord riseth upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. This is the word of the Lord, dear friends in Christ. It's a nice, warm summer day. The sun is shining, there's no wind, so you decide to go outside and enjoy the weather. Perhaps you're playing with the kids or you're getting some work done outside. It's getting later in the day. And you notice the wind suddenly started to pick up. You look up into the sky and you see a large, ominous black shelf of a cloud coming near. Soon the street lights turn on and you know that trouble is coming. That darkness stemming from this thick cloud of trouble is like the darkness that hovers over the world. As Isaiah said, see, darkness covers the earth. This is the darkness of unbelief and sin. The whole world is engulfed in this darkness. It doesn't take too much of observation to see that the world is covered in this thick darkness. You just have to see all the crime and hatred that's going on in the world, the natural disasters, the sicknesses, the diseases, the hatred for God and His Word and those who follow it. It doesn't take someone who's very observant to realize the effect of sin in this world. Covers the world in a cloud of darkness. And that's not the only thing that sin darkens. No, Isaiah continued, and thick darkness is over the peoples. Now this is still the same darkness, the darkness of sin and unbelief, but it is thicker, darker, over the people of the world than the earth. Why is that? Well, because this earth still stands. For thousands of years, this earth has remained relatively the same. And it will remain here until Christ comes again and destroys the world as we know it. We, on the other hand, live 70 or 80 years or so, and then we die. And what happens when we die? We face judgment. Darkness is thicker over the peoples because the effects of sin is greater. There are certain kinds of people that prefer darkness. They prefer to do their work. They prefer to do what they like to do under the cover of darkness. The world cannot see that. They figure because there's less people out at night and because you can't see that well, they might as well do what they like to do. There's a reason why robbers and prostitutes and drunkards do what they do mostly at night. Under the cover of darkness, so not as many people notice. All sinful nature loves darkness. It loves the way of the world. It doesn't gravitate towards the way of God. It gravitates towards the way of the world, towards darkness. It's concerned, first of all, about satisfying itself and its sinful desires instead of satisfying God and His Word. So we often join in with the dark deeds of the world. By nature, that's what we are anyway. Darkened by sin and unbelief. But rise, shine, for your light has come. And that light is Christ. He is a light that shines on a world full of darkness. The light that shines on a soul's engulfed in sin. He brings a light of forgiveness and salvation through faith in Him. The light of salvation by His suffering and death on the cross. We live in this cloud of unbelief and sin. But Christ shines a light of salvation on our souls. He paid for our souls, so on account of Him, God declares us not guilty. As great as that cloud of darkness and unbelief is, Jesus is greater. As Isaiah also said, the Lord rises upon you. He is the answer to the darkness of sin and unbelief in this world. Through the gospel that shines light on our hearts, we know the way of salvation. Like the sun rising up in the early morning, shining light on a darkened world, so is Christ who shines light on a world darkened by sin and unbelief. And there's another name that Isaiah uses for this promised Messiah, for Jesus, that's closely related to light. We see it right away in verse 1. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord shows up numerous occasions from time to time throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. For instance, it was the glory of the Lord who was in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that led the people in the wilderness. And when they encamped, He dwelled in the tabernacle or the portable temple, you could say. Indication that He was with His people. It was the glory of the Lord in a cloud that was on top of Mount Sinai when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, among other commands. Glory of the Lord is the manifestation of God's glory. It's an indication that He was with them, that he loved them. Really, whenever the glory of the Lord shows up, it's an indication that God was about to act, whether to punish them or to bless them. Really, the manifestation of the Lord is giving the people a glimpse of God's glory without showing too much. Because when God reveals His glory, He still needs to hide Himself. Because He is so great and He is so glorious, and we are sinful that we can't look upon God in His full glory and live. You know, when you are in a dark room for a while, or maybe you're sleeping and someone turns on the light, you have to cover your eyes because they're not used to such light. Or think of it as looking at the sun. The sun is so powerful and so bright that if we stare at the sun for too long, we would do damage to our eyes. That is what it can be like looking at the glory of the Lord, except on a much grander scale. We are so sinful that we cannot look at Him in His full glory and live. So He has to hide Himself in His glory. Think of Moses. When he was up on Mount Sinai talking to the glory of the Lord and came down to the people, he had to cover his face because his face was so radiant that the people couldn't even stand to look at him. I remember when I was younger and there was an eclipse going on during the school day. Even though the sun was mostly blocked, we still had to look at the eclipse through a welder's mask so we wouldn't hurt our retinas. Even when the sun is covered up, it's still too much for us to handle. That's even the case of the glory of the Lord. So that makes it even all the more amazing that Christ is the glory of the Lord, that Christ is the one who came down to this earth. Shows us how humble He made Himself, how much Christ gave up to live on this earth. When the people looked at Him, they looked like every other human. Although he was the Son of God, he looks just like anybody else. And yet, when they saw him, they saw the very Son of God, born as a helpless, defenseless little baby. And yet John says about him, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory of the Lord hidden in human flesh. And while Christ did hide himself, he did give us glimpses of his glory, glimpses of his divine majesty and power. Miracle after miracle, Jesus showed his power, doing things that humans cannot do. By teaching with authority better than any other person, by showing what he knew that humans couldn't possibly know, Christ indicated again that he truly is God. Three disciples, Peter, James, and John, were given a special glimpse of God's glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. As he was talking up on the Mount of Transfiguration, all of a sudden he just gave him a small glimpse of his glory. And he became so bright that the three disciples couldn't even stand to bother looking at him. Years later, Peter would write about that in his second letter. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory. And that's a glory we will see one day. In heaven, we will see Jesus. We will see God in his full divine glory, as John points out in this first letter. Now we are children of God. And what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In heaven, we will see Jesus as he is in his full divine glory without having to hide himself. This is only possible because of the work, the life, the suffering, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. He took our sins away, made us perfect and holy in the eyes of God. So we don't have to be afraid of standing before a holy God with sins, because our sins were taken away. We were made holy and pure in God's eyes. We were made like him so that we can see him as he is. And there in heaven, there will be no room, there will be no need for the Son. For the Son of righteousness, the Son of God, will be our light. As we read in Revelation 21, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Goes along with what was written and later on after our text in Isaiah 60. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor the brightness of the moon shine on you. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. You're in the middle of that storm, and it's raging all about you, trying to cause you all kinds of trouble and harm. And you long for light. When you see the light of that sun, you know the storm is past and trouble is over. Christ is your light. Seeing that light, seeing God in His full divine glory, means that you are safe. Freed from the storm, free from the darkness of sin and unbelief. Made glorious, like Christ, so that you may live with Him in His glory forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.